Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony, good morning. Save me from them this morning. How are you doing?
Howard, I can't save you from them. This is what you do and you love all the time. I'm aware of that. I wouldn't have it any other way.
It is true.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. And the thing that's been coming out, a surprising story circulating, is this story about wild animals becoming a plague within residential areas.
Yeah, in Haifa, and the latest, I saw that.
So Haifa has long been plagued with boars, in particular wild boars that have been roaming the streets. But this is now moving to the Jerusalem area, and in particular the area of Mevaseret Zion, has apparently had many issues with not only boars, but jackals apparently and porcupines roaming around the area, destroying infrastructure, hurting people. They can be quite dangerous. They roam in packs. Some of them can cause injuries to local people as well as damage to property. And the question is, why now? What's happened, which has caused this problem to become such an issue? And apparently, there are two main reasons. The first of which was that during the lockdown time of the pandemic, when there were so few people around on the streets, apparently the animals thought that this would be an opportunity to come along and claim the streets. They loved to climb into the dirt bins and the trash cans and look for food to eat lying around. But also another story, another reason that has been given for the animals coming out of the stage is the forest fires, which have been experienced recently. There were massive fires in the Jerusalem area, and the report suggests that those fires have driven the animals out of the forests and more towards the residential areas, which is causing a problem. So now the local municipalities of not only Jerusalem and Haifa, but now also Mevaseret Zion on the outskirts of Jerusalem, are having to deal with this by making sure that food is not left around to attract animals, and of course to make sure that people roaming around the streets are safe and not attacked, not hurt at all by some of these wild animals. So it is becoming an increasing problem, unfortunately, and apparently a lot of this has been driven by the fires in that area.
Incredible. It's really phenomenal to watch this, happening. Let's just talk about a number of reports emerged concerning the IDF making preparations for a possible attack on Iran's nuclear program. To me, it would be a bigger surprise if this didn't happen. All of the language is moving in this direction.
Yeah, so there are a few things that, for me were a little bit unexpected in some of these reports that I've read, because it seems really to be ramping up. Let's start with what's going on in Syria at the moment. Reports suggesting that Iran improving the anti-missile systems that are deployed in the southern Syrian area. More and more reports suggesting that Iran has been investing quite a lot in defense systems in southern Syria, causing the Israeli Air Force to be slightly less effective, or perhaps slightly differently put, to have to be a lot more cautious and to use more aircraft and to use greater skill when carrying out the attacks that the Israeli Air Force frequently carries out against targets in southern Syria, particularly Iranian targets, all of which is really designed to prevent a buildup of Iranian capabilities in that southern Syrian area. And of course, linked to that is Hezbollah, the Iranian proxy army based in Lebanon, but also increasingly based in Syria. Interesting that pamphlets were dropped the day before yesterday in southern Syria, trying to warn the local residents about Syrian army senior brass who apparently are cooperating with Hezbollah in somehow trying to out these people to the local Syrians in the area, because this is at least from what I can gather, supposed to somehow bring their names into disrepute, because they are Syrian army personnel who are working for Hezbollah, or representing Hezbollah, and the report suggests that Israel was responsible for dropping these pamphlets in order to try somehow to create some sort of social stigma, just a nice, slightly interesting, different way of working. But the other thing that, one of the other things that was very interesting for me is that the IDF managed to obtain special budget quite recently, which was approved by the government, and which will apparently be used to build capabilities for the purpose of attacking Iran. One of the things that I wondered to myself was, is this not something that has already been done? Why now? Why all of a sudden are we waking up to this issue now? I would have thought that the IDF probably would have had a plan already ready to go, and they could potentially just pick it up and run. And I think in some aspects, the IDF is probably ready to attack certain areas in Iran. But I think that, at least from what I've read, that the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, this agreement, nuclear agreement entered into by the P5+1 countries with Iran, apparently when that agreement was entered into back in 2015, the IDF kind of put many of their plans on the back burner, thinking that this particular agreement might well prevent them, or perhaps not require them, to carry out attacks against Iran. And so those plans were put on the back burner. But now, with that agreement seemingly heading towards an impasse, and the Americans, while wanting to return to the agreement, not seeming to be able to do so in a way that would satisfy their requirements, that all seems to be going down the tubes, and as a result of which, the IDF apparently is making all of these preparations to potentially be able to attack Iranian nuclear program sites. And, you know, bearing in mind that many of the sites are underground, they're built into mountains, they need to be attacked not only from the air, but indeed they need to have the capability to attack underground in order to be able to destroy the main features, the main hardware that's being used within this program. And of course, to be able to counter what seems to be quite a sophisticated Iranian air defense system, an increasingly sophisticated Iranian air defense system. And so we can kind of also put that against the backdrop of the meeting that took place on Friday between Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and President Putin of Russia, who, of course, we know has been very cooperative with the Iranians and very much working together with them. And so one wonders what might have been discussed at that meeting, which hasn't been reported by the press, because obviously the Iran thing is really all up front and center now, becoming more and more of an issue as we move down the road, and we see that there is no resolution to the Iranian nuclear agreement, at least as far as the Americans are concerned. So lots of interesting things going on. And then, of course, we can tie that into the blue flag exercise that's going on, the Israeli Air Force carrying out maneuvers. We already discussed that in conjunction with a number of other countries. That blue flag exercise continues this week. And indeed, we now also have visiting Israel the head of the Emirati Air Force, who for the first time has visited Israel. He was granted a guard of honor when he landed at Palmachim Air Force Base near Tel Aviv yesterday. And this is a really a big moment. This is the UAE's Air Force leader, Major General Ibrahim Nasser Mohammed Al-Alawi, who was welcomed to Israel by our own head of the Air Force, Major General Amikam Norkin. He had the guard of honor, and he will be observing the blue flag exercise on this occasion. But we do know that the United Arab Emirates has some aspirations, especially where the F-35s are concerned. And of course, Israel has the luxury of F-35s within the Air Force fleet. So lots of different things going on. But it's interesting how the cooperation with the United Arab Emirates is now heading towards the Air Force as well, because it is considered that that might be just another little bow that could be used in the armory towards an attack or a potential ganging up of countries in the region against Iran.
And we shouldn't be naive. A lot of the reason that the countries moved towards peace was because of of the Iranian Absolutely. Situation.
Without a shadow, without a doubt. I mean, Iran is considered to be a threat not only to Israel and to the United States and to Western countries, but indeed to other Arab countries around the Middle East. So, you know, even though Iran is a Muslim country and there is the common, obviously, the Muslim base that binds those countries together, but let's not forget that Iran is not an Arab country. And so as much as there is some commonality between them, there's also a lot of the many, many differences as well.
Mm. The Israeli court, an Israeli court rather, has ruled that an orphan who was brought to Israel should be returned to his Italian family. I'm assuming that this is the case of the kid who survived the cable car accident.
It is the case of young Eitan Biran. He's 6 years old. He was the sole survivor in his family, his immediate family, of the cable car accident in Italy. His parents had moved to Italy so that his father could study medicine. And they, of course, were killed in the cable car accident along with his great-grandparents. And thereafter has ensued this battle for his custody between his mother's family, who are based in Israel, and his father's family, who are actually based in Italy. Now, Eitan himself has grown up in Italy all his life, and even though both sides of the family are Israelis at the heart, but it seems as if though his father's family obviously his father has family in Italy, and they are the ones who took immediate control of Eitan following the accident when he was eventually released from hospital. And more than that, the Italian courts granted them custody of him as a result of his parents having been killed. That wasn't enough for his mother's family, who are resident in Israel. They have hired a private plane, and they actually literally kidnapped him from Italy, even though this term is being very, very cautiously used. But they took him against the will, against the knowledge of his custodians in Italy, and they brought him to Israel on the basis that they feel that he would be better growing up in Israel. This has unfortunately had to go now through the courts in Israel, where the family court yesterday ruled that young Eitan would be better off with his father's family in Italy. This is where he grew up. This is the environment that he knows. This is also the order of the Italian courts. Let's not ignore that fact that there has already been a court ruling on this issue. So the mother's family, the Peleg family, which is the mother's family, have been ordered to return him to Italy and also to pay quite a substantial fee to the court to cover the costs of the court. Apparently, the Peleg family do have the right to appeal this ruling. So for now, at least, it seems as if they may well go through an appeal process. The courts seem to be quite determined to allow the appeal to go quite quickly in order to resolve this as soon as possible. But a very, very sad situation, because somewhere in the middle of this massive court battle is a young six-year-old boy.
Absolutely.
One would think that it would be better for the two sides of the family to somehow come to an agreement and to cooperate with each other for his benefit rather than to be battling this particular issue through the courts.
It really is a terrible story. There are no winners, unfortunately, one way or another.
Unfortunately, that's the case. I mean, one can understand why some elements of the family would think that it would be better for him to grow up in Israel. We get all of that. There's a certain reality which one has to recognize. And as much as, you know, ideologically you might want the child to grow up in Israel, the fact is that he has a family in Italy. That's where he seems to be comfortable. That's what he knows. And the Israeli courts have at least recognized that.